Surprise, surprise, life is full of surprises. The Extreme Makeover crew drives up to someone's home and surprises them with a brand new house, if you watch that TV show. Amy Grant surprises three people a week on television by granting their most personal wishes. A crazy youth pastor surprised his bride by having the dog be the ring bearer at their wedding. To be surprised is to feel wonder and astonishment and amazement at something that's not anticipated. To be surprised is to be dumbfounded and even flabbergasted. Once upon a time, Christmas was full of surprises. You never knew what presents you were going to get because there were limits to Santa's budget. And our threshold of amazement back then was a lot lower than it is in this day. But let not our repetition ruin the reality. The story of Christmas is still amazing. And the characters of Christmas are stunned and surprised by these angelic messages. Let not the familiarity with these stories dim our understanding of what has happened in our world. Oh, that we who gather for worship today could once more be captured by the wonder of it all. And in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Mary was surprised. She was surprised by joy. Joy to the world, the Lord has come, let all their songs employ. Never mind that Gabriel's wings are shaking at the sight of this young teenager. Ignore the fact that Mary is greatly troubled and sore afraid. Some news is so incredible, so astounding, so surprising that it makes you cry before you can laugh. Such was the case of Mary. It was Oswald Chambers who once said, "A life of intimacy with God is characterized by joy." May I say that again? A life of intimacy with God is characterized by joy. The Bible says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." The angels said, "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy." Jesus said, "I have told you this, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete." What has life done to your joy? Have the responsibilities of the day and the concerns of life knock the joy right out of you? Are you at church today joyful? Some of you could tell your faces that if you are. C.S. Lewis described his conversion to Christ as being surprised by joy. He wrote a book about it. Lewis was raised in a Christian home, but his intellectualism led him to atheism. But Lewis could never quite get comfortable with his disbelief. And he writes in one of his books, "I could not get away from him whom I so earnestly desired not to meet." And then in the Trinity term of 1929, he writes, "I was brought kicking and struggling and eyes darting in every direction back home to Christ. I was overwhelmed with joy." What a difference that one man's conversion made in the world. He gave us the book Mere Christianity, which is the finest argument for faith written in the 20th century. He gave us the Chronicles of Narnia, which many of you are flocking to the movie theaters to see at this Christmas time of the year. Joy is more than a seasonal greeting. It is a way of life. It is the glad potential of every Christian. May some angelic messenger light on your shoulder today and fill you with joy. Mary was surprised. She was surprised by joy. Mary was surprised. She was surprised by the favor of God. It's at two places in this text. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And then he says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now, I want to ask you today, what does it mean to be highly favored? Joel Osteen pastors the largest church in America, out in Lakewood Community Church out in Houston, Texas. He also is the author of a New York bestseller entitled Your Best Life Is Now. He has two chapters in that book about what it means to be favored of God. And then Joel Osteen says, you have the favor of God if you don't have to pay tickets when you're pulled over for speeding. I wish that were true. You're favored by God when you're seated ahead of others at a busy restaurant. You're favored by God when you find prime parking spots in busy parking lots. You are favored by God when you get a job even though you're qualified less than others. You're favored by God when you get free first class accommodations on airplanes. In fact, the favor of God upon your life is such that all kinds of people are just waiting around in order to help you be encouraged in life. Now, I want to give proper respect to all of my colleagues in ministry around the world. But I want to tell you today, folks, that's heresy. There's nothing true about that. Let me tell you what Mary found by being favored by God. She bore a child out of wedlock. She endured the stares of the Nazarene. She found no room at the inn. She never quite understood the mission of Jesus. She stood at a cross, her heart broken, as any mother's heart would be broken, as her son was crucified. Highly favored. Jimmy was a sheep in the Christmas play at church. He was proud of being a sheep. So he ran around the dressing room before the play took place, asking everybody what they were. "I'm a sheep. What are you?" And people responded, "I'm an angel," or "I'm a wise man," or "I'm whatever happened to be" in that particular Christmas play. And finally, Jimmy comes up to Claire, and he says to Claire, "I'm a sheep. What are you?" And Claire responds, "I'm Mary." In shock that he was talking to the main character, Jimmy's not about to be outdone. He says, "It's hard being a sheep, you know." To which Claire replies, "Oh, yeah? It's even harder being a virgin, you know." So the favor of the Lord is upon Mary. Wasn't easy, this favor. To have the favor of the Lord is know you're fulfilling your reason to be born. To have the favor of the Lord is to participate in the great purposes of God. To have the favor of the Lord is to know that you're loved no matter what, even when other people doubt it. To have the favor of the Lord is to serve others instead of serving yourself. To have the favor of the Lord is to lose yourself in order that you can find yourself in a higher purpose. Mary had favor in the Lord. Mary was surprised. Mary was surprised by a power from on high. Is this text so familiar to us that we forget it? Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And she says, how can this be? And the angel responds, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Can you hear it today? The ways of God are not our ways, you know. Mary knew how to make a baby. Mary didn't know why God would want to be an embryo. I don't either. One of the newer popular Christmas songs tries to think about what was going on in Mary's mind at this moment in her life. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that your baby would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Oh, Mary, did you know? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new, that this child you delivered would one day deliver you? Well, of course she didn't know. How could she? And even if she had known, who would have believed her? The surprising story. So she kept all of these things. Pondered them in her heart. Power of the Most High. It takes faith to believe that. The ways of God call for faith within us. Faith to wait. That's what she did. She waited. While the conception was mysterious and miraculous, the pregnancy was normal and ordinary, an experience that every mother present can understand. What do? You wait and you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait. It was Isaiah who once said, they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Did Mary wait that way? I don't know. Maybe she waited down in the cellar of her life trying to figure this thing out. Wondering. Asking. Jesus said to his disciples on the day that he left, at his ascension, wait here. Wait here until the power of the Most High. The exact same phrase. Wait until the power of the Most High comes upon you. Do you have the patience to wait for God? It takes faith to wait. It takes faith to stretch. The physical stretching Mary experienced was nothing compared to the stretching necessary to embrace the Son of God in her soul. You've heard it asked all morning. It was in the lighting of the Advent candles. It was in the scripture reading that you heard read and portrayed before you. The question is, how can these things be? You ever wonder how many times Mary asked that question in 33 years of Jesus' life? How often do you ask questions like that? Let me pose the question this way. Does your soul still have an elasticity about it? Does your soul still have the ability to stretch? Or is it hard, coarse, and inflexible? Do you still dream of things that never were and ask why not? Do you still look at the hope of justice and mercy and have a passion to bring it about? Do you still in your soul believe what's in this text? Nothing is impossible when you put your faith in God. Does your soul wrap around that? Takes faith to do that. To have faith is to stretch. To have faith is to obey. Did you hear the last phrase? Let it be, Lord. Like you said, just let it be. I don't understand it. I don't have it all worked out. It's not neat and nice. It's messy. But let it be, Lord. Let it be. And she went back home. I keep a prayer on my desk at home that I've had there for many, many years. It's a prayer of Thomas Merton. And part of it goes like this. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it's going to end. But I believe that the desire to please you does, in fact, please you. And I hope that I have that desire in everything I'm doing. And I hope I'll never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road. Even though I can't understand it, you will lead me where I need to go. Amen. Let it be, Lord. Let it be. When our boys were little, I used to come home in the afternoons, and they would meet me at the door. And when I stepped inside the door, I would pick them up and toss them in the air and catch them on the way down and give them a hug and a kiss and drop that one to the floor and pick up the other one and pitch him in the air and catch him on the way down, and we would do it again and again and again and again and again. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Until either my arms would get tired or their mother would call us to dinner. And sometimes, about this time of year, I get a hold of the knees of God, and I say what my boys always said: do it again, Daddy. Do it again. Would you just do it again? And when I think about a world torn by war and broken by poverty, and sometimes so full of things that we've lost our souls, I get a hold of the knees of God like my boys used to get a hold of my knees and say, "Oh God, would you do it again? Would you do it again? Would you surprise us with hope? Would you fill us with love? Would you come, O Lord? Would you come again to save your sons and daughters? Do it again, God. Would you do it again?" Amen.